Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Serta out still today with the flu. Kramer in for him today. Rocco, hopefully he didn't get sick.
Hope not. I don't think that was the case. I think Rocco was just
busy. You guys ruined Rocco in 2 days.
He's gone 2 days. He couldn't handle it anymore with us, I think.
I can promise you that if I get sick during this show, that. I'm just going home.
I mean, I'm drunk, so whatever.
Yeah, well, thanks for saving some of the beer for us.
I brought it out there it for did. You. There was a half a beer.
Some Pilsner.
Wait, hold on. Whoa.
Do you want one?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want, a Pilsner? I'll get
you. Yeah, Pilsner.
I got you hooked
okay.
up.
Okay, all right, good.
I didn't think you'd like it, seeing as how you don't like anything.
Beer he likes.
The beer. The Twitter profile, because I know you check the Twitter profile constantly, Ryan. It says, I love craft beer and barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Those are two things I'm not picky about.
You want one of these stouts?
No, I prefer the
Pilsner. Oh, here it is! There it is! I'd
prefer the Pilsner. Doesn't mean I wouldn't drink it, but I definitely prefer the Pilsner.
Bring you a Pilsner from Torn Label. Go check them out. They close at 10 tonight. It's amazing.
Okay. Fantastic. There you go. We've the last hour, honestly, Cody and I have been just sitting outside the studio and listening to this comedy that has been the Astros morning press conference and the cheating scandal that's been the biggest story in baseball this entire offseason. It's overshadowed everything else. The minute, in November, when Mike Fiers decided to open up everything and give his thoughts and inside knowledge on what had been occurring with the Astros organization, with sign stealing, using technology, banging on trash cans, and having video monitors and all that. It's resulted in multiple firings managerially and with front office, but the Astros at the center of this. And today was the first time, and you knew it was going to be interesting. Today was the first time that the Astros were going to fully address it. You had about a month ago their little fan fest, and Altuve and Bregman were caught off guard, they claim. I don't know how they were caught. They had to know those questions were coming. They did not handle it well. They did not apologize. They didn't do anything like that. We'll get to some of the comments today at this press conference, because it was an absolute disaster for the Houston Astros. But just this cheating as a whole, this isn't going away anytime soon as far as this following the Astros, as far as this following Major League Baseball.
No, this is the biggest story in baseball all season again. Because, man, if Altuve hits like 270 for the first month, oh, the people that are going to come out of the woodwork. And I know that everybody hasn't heard their apologies both on the podium, and that was the part that was so jarring. How bad of a job Crane, Bregman, and Altuve did to start. And the fact that they just rolled out Dusty Baker to answer questions for what was no reason. That would be as if, the same comparison as if I got in a fight with my wife about something we were arguing with, and I brought Ryan in to answer questions for me. He wasn't a part of the fight.
Deflection.
He wasn't there. Why is he answering the questions about our fight? Why is he answering anything?
They're just trying to deflect a little bit as best as possible.
Dusty's a sweet dude. So they're just like, come on, Dusty.
Well, that's why. Dusty's
just come
a likeable
up here
guy.
And smile. And yeah, that's exactly it. It's absurd. This is pretty much what Bregman's apology sounded like today.
I state my regret.
You couldn't have memorized that?
I could not, because I do not feel it.
That was it. That was his whole press conference today.
It was almost the same length.
I state
too.
My regret.
It was
honestly, that
like...
clip is 10 seconds long from The Office, and the actual clip was 29 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. 27 seconds. So, yeah, it's about the same difference as far as when they stand up there on the podium. And today, when you listen to them, I know eventually you get to the clubhouse, and they maybe sound like they have some regret. Good God. Like, you have the owner of the team saying they didn't feel like they had a competitive advantage. You have players who seemingly would answer questions about it. You have reporters who are asking legitimate questions about how this impacted the game, and everybody just dodge, duck, just whatever they can do to get out of the way. It was a comic. I couldn't believe it went so bad. You said they got caught off guard a month ago. They had a month to plan for this, Gold. They knew this was coming, and this is how it went.
I will say this. No matter what they did today, though. Okay, and it was amazing. Great entertainment for all of us. But no matter what they did today, there was no perfect statement. There was no message that they could have said that would have had people not criticizing anything that went on today.
Okay, they had two options.
I will say that. Now, with that said, it could have got a hell of a lot better than what they did today. And the Astros PR staff, I'm not surprised one bit. I lived in Houston for a little while. Houston PR staff with the Astros organization, nobody should be that surprised with that fact that this is how it was handled today. In fact, if anybody remembers from back in October during the playoff run for the Astros, you had the report that came out about now a former front office exec with the Astros, Tobman, and some of the comments he made making female reporters feel uncomfortable in the clubhouse. And that was from an SI report.
You mean
report.
Verbally attacking them exactly. About a sexual assaulter who was in their midst?
Yeah, exactly.
The players, yeah.
And you had that going on, and they dismissed the report, said it was fabricated, called out the credibility of the reporter, did all this, and this was done by the PR staff and higher up in the organization, and then they came back and said, all right, we apologize after it took a little bit of pushing. Thank you, Ryan, for bringing in the beer. Appreciate that. We'll crack that up. Did he bring the Pilsner or the Stout just to mess
Pilsner.
With me? Okay, it was the Pilsner. So the Astros PR has handled things poorly over and over again, and today, albeit a tough situation, there was no sincerity whatsoever when it came to what Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve had to say. This is what Altuve had to say. The whole statement. This was not edited. This is the entire statement from Altuve.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
You don't get to decide like when it's time to move forward. I understand they, as baseball players in their mind, are going to have to try to do that. But it's not telling people when to move forward. This is something, as you said, will be the biggest story all year as well. Here in 2020 when it comes to baseball. Astros fans, whatever you may think about them, and that's the one disappointing thing I will say. That was a huge rallying cry for that city in 2017 when they won, because that was just after Hurricane Harvey, and it was a huge deal for the city. And so it's unfortunate for those down there that was something that brought them some joy and happiness during an awful, sure. awful time in that city's history. And to then now come back a couple years later and find out that this championship is 100% tainted, even though the Astros players and ownership will refuse to admit that, that's exactly what it is. And maybe Astros fans won't admit it. As tough as it is to say it, 100% is tainted. And when you have Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, try to act like it didn't play a role whatsoever in their World Series run?
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
The multiple flexes of the World Series win in this were so bad. That wasn't the only time. It was like, we won, so great. This is the two ways you could have handled it. Like, if you're the Astros, you just go up there and you say, yes, we're terribly sorry. We've made horrible decisions. What we've done is wrong. Shed a tear. Move on. Hope people stop asking you about it eventually. They probably won't, but you suffered no punishment. No financial reunification. You didn't lose your title. You're good. Just say you're super duper sorry. The only other way to play it if you're the Astros is to just be like, yeah, we did it. So what? What of it? Everyone does it because I think we know that the reports of the Red Sox are doing the exact same thing. Yeah, we did it. So what? What are you going to do about it? Like, I mean, those are the only two plays. And instead they chose this like weird middle ground. And by the way, Crane saying,
oh, he came off the worst in the whole time. Nobody came off worse today and has come off worse during this cheating stuff than Crane. And they've made A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the two guys that were fired, the manager and general manager that were fired, the scapegoats. And Carlos Beltran's becoming a scapegoat.
Well, that's
as
what
well.
Crane tried to do today. Crane said, nah, I don't think the players should be punished. You know, they were put in a bad situation because, their leaders failed them. I'm like, they're 27. Kramer, you don't get to claim the leaders failed. Like, we're on this show together. You can't just be like, if you do something wrong, you can't just blame us. Sorry. It's on you, too.
Yeah,
because you're an adult who has, like, an apartment, presumably.
Yes, that's true.
You, like, live on your own. You make money. Like, you can't just be like, my parents didn't do, like, that's the exact blame here, isn't it?
The two biggest issues, so besides not showing truly some, you know, sadness for what you, you know, what you did, essentially, and showing any bit of sincerity from the player side, at least pre-clubhouse, which they did show a little bit more there, which I don't understand why that wasn't more at the press conference setting as well. And that was, again, another mistake that I think they made just from a PR angle. It was the fact that you said that it didn't change the game. It didn't impact the game. And
crazy
that you continued to say, yeah, the players were just following orders, essentially. And then to have the players in the clubhouse
say the opposite,
get on the same page, at least, like that, get on the same page, the owner and the players. Now that, what that tells me, Cody, is that you had Jim Crane ownership based on what Major League Baseball has said and not punishing the players and having that look bad for them. You've had an owner in that hour meeting that they had last night, I guess, the Astros organization with the players. You had, I'm sure, players, I'm guessing, in there saying that we maybe wanting to take the approach that you suggested.
Sure.
And you had ownership say, no, this is the way this is going to go. This is the way it has to go for us to continue to go forward. And this was Crane on why players are not being held accountable by the Astros organization.
Listen, again, I'll refer to the commissioner's report. I think he's taken a position, and I agree with it, that, you know, the players weren't going to be held accountable. The leaders were held accountable, and that's where we're going to leave it.
He said he was glad they weren't held accountable. Also, we know now that the report's out that the reason they weren't held accountable is because they got a free pass just as long as they were open and honest about how the cheating scandal worked. Which is also, like, I understand that MLB said that they didn't find evidence that they used buzzers, and I know multiple players today were like, oh, no, how dare, they were offended. And you don't get to be offended, you cheated. You lied about that for years, and now I'm supposed to just take you at your word. No thanks. I'm not definitively sure you did or didn't use buzzers, but I'm not just taking you at your word that you didn't. You get to just tell me, oh, you know, no, it was only this type of cheating and it didn't impact the game. And oh, I saw Josh yeah. Reddick's comments about it saying, you know, I'm just so focused when I'm up there. Can you really be paying attention to the things they're doing, like banging the trash can to tell you? I'm like, stop it. You don't get to just be like, it didn't impact us. It didn't make a difference. No, we didn't win. I don't trust anything you say anymore. You were clearly at the forefront of one of the largest cheating scandals baseball's ever had. I know you weren't the only other team because there's been reports that other teams were involved. At least after multiple players would admit that it impacted people's careers and games because it did in a huge way. I know that they're being sued for some people. I understand, you know, like being sued by some former players who feel like their career was completely wiped off the map. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Your entire career probably wouldn't have been wiped off the map just because you couldn't pitch against the Astros. But that was one of the few teams he ever got to pitch against. And they were banging the hell out of the trash can while they wiped him off the scoreboard. Like, it doesn't, you don't get to just pretend like this didn't have an impact. And flexing if the Chiefs cheated and then in every press conference they kept mentioning the Super Bowl, you'd be like, hey, maybe tone it down on that a little bit. We're talking about the other thing. You're reminding us that you cheated and won a World Series. All we're asking you about is the cheating. Maybe don't associate the two together. Maybe just talk about the cheating. Leave the whole World Series thing out of it rather than be like, we got a great team looking forward to this year. Not the time, Crane. Not a good time. Not a good time for this.
How much do Royals fans and baseball sports fans, how much do you guys really care? I mean, I do wonder that to a certain extent. How much do you truly care? You go back and it looks like 2017, part of 2018, and they claim that it wasn't going on in 2019. Like, how much do you care deep down if you're not Houston, if you're not Boston, New York,
there's
or the Dodgers?
By the way,
like,
they started as early as 2016.
There's some out there, and that's what's so. And this is the problem with Major League Baseball and how they've approached it. There's so much that's not been out there that we're having all these reports daily that come out with more information, some conflicting others. But I just wonder, like, how much do you care? Like, they're not ever having the title stripped away. I'm sorry. I said that from the beginning. It's tainted. 100% it's tainted. But the Astros are not having their title taken down. Their pennant's going away. This isn't college basketball, okay, where you're taking down banners. It's just not. but it will forever be tainted. These guys' careers will be tainted.
Good.
Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, and it should be. It's going to follow them until they're out of the league. And when they're out of the league, whenever the day comes that they're being
considered
for the Hall of Fame.
They should treat them just like steroid users.
It's going to be to a certain extent. I do think time to some extent outside of L.A. where the Dodgers, they feel like they got absolutely screwed, and they did.
Of course.
Outside of those markets, I do wonder if people's opinion will change if you get further a little bit removed from it. But overall, on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306, like deep down, how much do you care? I mean, you know, you mentioned this person, I mean, I should say, mentions the 816. Why would they really apologize? They know nothing will happen because baseball always has and always will embrace a culture of cheating.
It's hard enough for like a small market team like the Royals to be competitive year in and year out in Major League Baseball. That is a difficult enough task on its own right. On top of that, you're asking them to compete with a major market who is employing a very detailed and dedicated cheating system to do it. I mean, yes, you should be frustrated. Like, for all the reasons that, and look, there have been plenty of teams that have been mentioned as possible guilty parties that are coming around with this. And do I think everyone's going to just come out and be like, oh, yeah, we were doing it too? Nope. Because I know that's not how it works.
No, it doesn't.
Nope. Red Sox are going to watch this thing today and be like, yeah, we're just going to say nothing and hope nobody says anything because pay us.
Well, what I want to know is AJ Hinch watching this, Carlos Beltran watching this today, Jeff
Lindell
watching this today.
At least the players stood up for them, but their owner did nothing.
No, the owner did nothing. And that part, probably not too surprised that that's the route they're going to go in terms of at least the scapegoat route of Beltran and AJ Hinch and some of these guys that were obviously involved, but just to what extent was it on them versus the players? And to hear the players take responsibility in the clubhouse, at least, was, I don't want to say refreshing, but was what they should have done from the very beginning. You know, as far as what's to come, if I was watching it, though, and I'm hinting those guys, like, if you don't think that more stuff's going to come out about the players' role, or if Jim Crane did, in fact, know, like, after seeing myself be thrown on the bus today, if I'm those guys, I'm making sure I leak some stuff out. I'm talking to some reporters later on today. If I'm AJ Hinch and some of these other guys out there,
I'm not being the only guy who's taking the heat.
The worst exchange, and then we'll move on to some of the other rules across baseball that are changing that will impact the Royals here in 2020. So Marley Rivera, she's a reporter for ESPN. It was the very last line of questioning today at the press conference, and props to her. She asked Crane, "All right, if you're telling us that this cheating had no impact on the game, no impact on winning World Series, then why did you guys essentially...
Why have people been trying to steal signs for hundreds of years?
Why you been doing this for a couple years, just this scheme, this code breaker is what they've called it, and then also, then why are you apologizing if you don't think it benefited you?
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up.
Cheaters always feel like the cheating.
That's how it ended. That's how the presser ended today.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah, good call. Good call to wrap it up there. Whoops.
You know, guys, we're going to wrap this up. Is the best end to a PR, you know, just like, oh, God. Look, I do not envy members of the Astros PR staff today, but they did not help at all. I mean, the idea that anytime they just be like, it didn't impact, we didn't do anything, we won't take any credit. And he said he should have zero, like, you're the man in charge. I like how you can be the owner of the team and say that the leaders are the people who are responsible, but you, the most leader, as in the owner of the team, you're like, I don't think I should be held accountable. That's his exact quote. I don't think I should be held accountable, end quote. So cool. Cool, Crane. That went great, guys. Don't look any further. It went fine. Really. No reason to knock this out. Meanwhile, PR teachers for the collegiate level, have fun. This will be an easy assignment for the class, right? Like, if you teach PR right now, you're not going to have any trouble teaching kids what not to do in a public relations nightmare situation.
And I think people just wanted them to come out today and not only apologize, but people wanted to see them admit, and this is something they will probably never do while they're still playing. They wanted them to admit that they won the World Series because they cheated.
Or they gained an advantage, and they would never admit that.
That's something that they're not going to say. They're just not.
Just saying gained an advantage is the same thing. Crane straight up got asked today, is this cheating? He said, oh, we broke the rules. Is this cheating? We broke the rules. Okay, it's the same thing, man. I don't know what conversation we're having. You just don't like the word cheat. But you cheated, and you could admit it. But no, instead he's like, ah, we broke the rules. Okay, fine. Fine. I just want you to, you know, anytime I think about this, the next time you're in a serious relationship, Gold, if you make the mistake of cheating on her, and I do not recommend it to someone who's never cheated,
Thank you for that recommendation. I appreciate that.
No, I'm not saying, like, the cheating part. But if you do, and this happens, don't go with the, hey, did you cheat on me? I broke the rules. What? That's the same thing from the same conversation. You will likely get stabbed.
Who knows? Wow.
That's how that ends.
That escalated quickly.
It will escalate in that scenario.
Who knows what else Major League Baseball is going to come out with? You know, they had the proposal for postseason baseball come out, sure, try to cover up this stuff a little bit. Last night, it was official rule changes for the 2020 season. Now, some of these, Cody, we've known for months and months and months that these were coming down the pipeline. A few surprises. The biggest one, as far as how it impacts the Royals, changes for 2020, and it'll impact everybody. But how do the Royals approach it with their bullpen, for example? The three-batter minimum. This has been talked about, and now it's official. Essentially, the starting or any relief pitcher, you're going to have to pitch a minimum of three batters, including the batter, then at bat. So, you know, if you're injured, that gives you some leeway maybe to avoid this. I wonder if there will be a scenario in the postseason where someone just mysteriously all of a sudden, man, that
elbow doesn't feel right.
That shoulder just not feeling right. I don't know, two batters, just not feeling right. Like, I'm curious, how do you prevent somebody circumventing the rules?
You know,
but that's the big, out of all these, we can go through a couple real quick, but the three-batter minimum will have the biggest impact in 2020.
It will, just because it's the largest shift in strategy that this game has seen. Like, Terry Francona might straight up quit based on this rule alone. It's the largest shift in strategy based on anything else. The roster size going up to 26 does change some of your ability to use bullpen arms differently or bench players differently than you have before, though you don't get to call up as many people in September, so the Royals are at least a little bit limited by who they can actually see later in the year. But everything else, like the, you know, the two-way designation, the position player pitching that you have to designate it before,
yeah,
the extra player rule, all of those things never, you know, those aren't going to have a seemingly large change. The only two that really impact the Royals, or three, I guess, if you want to look at it this way, are the one you just mentioned, right? The idea that there's a three-pitcher minimum for relievers. That plays a big factor. That's a huge strategy change in baseball. And how teams employ it is going to be really interesting because it's only to end a half inning. So you can still get a guy in for an out just as long as somebody was in for the out before. Like, I think we're going to see people, it might backfire. It's weird because you might see more mid-inning things where you're lining up more for the hitters that are coming up in place. Now, that means maybe more pinch hitting, which is why the 26-player rule plays more of a factor, but that's it. The only other two are the reduction in challenge time, which I don't think any people saw coming. But that's down from 20 seconds instead of 30 seconds. I think they're just this way of
speeding up. It's pace of play.
I know,
stuff.
But this is not even the problem. The problem is not the 10 seconds it takes for the maybe one replay, maybe two replays. The 20 seconds? That ain't it.
Nobody's saying, man, this game lasted 20 seconds too long.
Maybe make the people in New York, if at the end of 45 seconds you can't decide, then the call stands. If you need longer than that, tough. You don't get 2 minutes. You don't get 3 minutes. That matters more than giving the manager 10 extra seconds to make a difference. The only other big difference for that is how they change the injury designation. And this is how they'll try to prevent people from skirting the rule about somebody's elbow hurting. They had gone down to 10 days for injury designations and now have gone back up to 15 days again. Going back to people, what they found out was when they went to 10 days, people were using that as essentially as a rotational ability to send guys to the D. It was an extra spot, which they don't necessarily need anymore now that they have the 26 man, but teams will still use it. They'll just use 27. The more people you have on your roster, the better, because it gives you more flexibility throughout. So I think that at least switching it back to that has an impact on that rule as well.
Coming up at 11:30, we'll get back into some baseball. John Heyman, our radio.com sports baseball insider, presented by 5-Hour Energy Shots. We'll get his perspective on this Astros press conference today and some of these rule changes in 2020 and how they impact the Kansas City Royals. Coming up next, though, on Cody and Gold, college hoops from last night. KU with a monster win over West Virginia and the impact that the viewing option for that game and others across the Big 12 have on attendance in those arenas as well.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold. And last night, watching a little college hoops, a little local hoops. KU in Morgantown taking on West Virginia as we approach the middle of February. And before we know it, the Big 12 tournament going to be underway. And it was, I mean, this game
thanks,
last
Chiefs.
Night.
Again, that just everything pushes forward. It's great.
Whether it's for the Royals or it's for college basketball, it's like all of a sudden we fast forward to when the stuff starts to get good. Spring training underway, and then now we get to the heart of the conference season and soon to be Big 12 tournament. Selection Sunday. We'll be here a little over a month and 2 days away from Selection Sunday, which, by the way, is like one of my favorite days of the year. Love
I gathered Sunday. Based on how quickly you said a month and two days.
I'm not counting or anything.
I do not know the actual dates of Selection
I believe
Sunday,
it's
but apparently
Sunday
you do.
The 15th of March. I love
okay.
it. Love Selection Sunday. It really is like Christmas morning.
It's like
just, there's just energy. You just, who are they going to play? Who are they going to play? I want to get my bracket filled out. I want to start putting some bets together for some of the early lines that come out before the lines adjust. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like Selection Sunday. I don't think I like it as much as you.
You're not a bracket guy, though.
I mean, I fill out a bracket. Okay. I work in sports radio.
Hold on. Well, this is key for the future of the show and for this relationship that we're going to have on the show.
I am not against multiple brackets. I would say it depends on the year for me.
Are you a singular bracket guy?
No, I don't. It depends on the year, I would say.
One bracket, one bracket, one bracket.
You're saying you fill out one bracket for every pool you enter? No, I'm not that guy.
You change yours?
Hell yes.
No.
I'm the same way.
Then you come back a week later and say, oh, I got a perfect bracket. So, no, and your other five that you had, you're already screwed.
Man, this is gambling. You ever heard of hedging a bet?
Not for a bracket.
Like
not for
come
a
on.
Bracket. No, because what if you have the one?
You're a single bracket guy,
yeah,
huh?
You entered in all the five different contests
Look,
that are
I'm
out
there. I'm
responsible
for a single bracket on this show in which I can be held accountable.
Okay.
All other gambling endeavors,
okay.
I do not subscribe to the one bracket policy.
All right, we'll have a further discussion on this when March comes. This is actually very concerning to me. Every day we're learning more about each other.
You bet on other games, don't you? Like you just think you get one
on
bracket.
Other games, but not bracket. It's a bracket.
Do you bet on every game that you filled out in the bracket the same way? It's all the same.
Do I bet on every game? No, I don't.
No,
bet
no.
On
but
every
I'm saying
game.
Like, do you bet on like? So if you say you pick Duke to the Final Four, does that mean you bet on Duke every round until the Final Four?
Well, I'm probably not doing money line bets. I'm taking them against the spread. So the spread, that's the beauty of the spread. You don't think they're going to win or lose, but are they going to cover? Like, if whoever Duke or Kansas is playing, I think they're going to win maybe, but they're not going to cover.
I'm telling you is, it's the same. Like, this beholden to a single bracket. Yeah. Like, it's some, this is like an ethics policy. I mean, we can go through what the Astros just did, but I got no problem with my bracket game.
No apology coming from Cody.
No. No. Right. Or at least it's going to be an equally bad apology as the Astros gave today. I do not think I should be held accountable.
So last night's game may have some serious implications come Selection Sunday, though, with seeding and everything. Certainly has implications for the Big 12 race as number 3 Kansas got the win over number 14 West Virginia, 58-49. And you and I were texting a little bit. We're watching the game. And I think the exact text you sent me was something along the lines of, like, this is ugly. Like, this is ugly to watch. And I was like, yes, it is. But even though here in 2020, college basketball as a whole, the product isn't what it was a couple years ago. When Kansas and West Virginia play each other, what you saw last night, West Virginia tries to muck it up a little bit. And that's what you saw once again. Now, the difference was both teams struggled to score throughout. But that how many times, if anybody has watched Kansas and West Virginia, especially in Morgantown, even more so than when they're at the field house, those games are just ugly. They're low scoring, ton of turnovers. West Virginia's trying to turn over Kansas like crazy. West Virginia had 19 turnovers themselves last night. Like, that wasn't surprising. Going into the game, Kansas, West Virginia, I would have said, yeah, it's going to be an ugly basketball game. I could have told you that for the last 5+ years when it comes to KU and West Virginia when they square off. And that's what we got last night. And there's way more of those type of games in general in college basketball now than we have had for years. But last night's game, I didn't think, oh man, this is extra crummy. Or anything like that is typically what it is with KU and West Virginia.
Kansas does not look good on offense. And the concerning part to me is that KenPom has them as like the 15th best offense in the league. That's a good offense? What I watched last night, and admittedly, I've watched some Kansas, some K-State, some Missouri, some other college basketball, but swept up in Chiefs fever, I have watched less college basketball this season than admittedly in seasons past. But in getting caught up in all the college basketball, it befuddles me to say that Kansas is one of the better offenses in the NFL because they, or NFL, we just talked about the Chiefs, in college basketball because they It's not good basketball. Now, I know last night's game, right? I just mentioned the KenPom rankings. Kansas and West Virginia, coming into that, were the number one and number two adjusted defenses. So that is supposed to be an ugly basketball game because of how good they are on defense. And I walked away impressed by what Kansas was able to do defensively. After the 13 and a half minute mark, they held West Virginia just 8 points. And I think a single, like two made field goals for that entire stretch. And some of that, I mean, it's hard to be just like defense makes you make all miss, but all but two shots. So some of that is just straight up missing. But man, I still, like when I watched that game last night, and obviously, you know, we talk about defense in the tournament and point guard play and all the things that will benefit Kansas come tournament time. But they better hope that college basketball stays this way the rest of the year, as in gross, grinded out games in which
that's middle
Kansas
February.
Can do. I know, but yeah, of course. But every game in college basketball looks like that. Matter of fact, that Missouri game the other night was actually a refreshing change of pace in the offensive end for a college basketball game. Now, I know they eventually ended up losing to a top 25 opponent, but did.
Look last year, who were the champions were? Well, who were the champions last year in college basketball? Virginia. They have their
offense. Yeah, but that's the first time in a long time that they were able to play that way and win.
But the idea that
oftentimes in college basketball, when you're that style, you're susceptible to getting beat because every game's close. This is like the Chiefs all those years in the playoffs with Alex Smith. Yes. Yes, but even so, Virginia had an elite defense for years and would find themselves in some grinded out game with a lesser opponent who would eventually hit a couple more shots that they wouldn't in the end. The thing I asked myself about Kansas going, you know, into that game last night, and that's a really good win against a tough West Virginia squad who they've now beaten twice in a place that they are incredibly difficult to beat. So that's a really good win. I still do wonder with them the same thing I wonder about it, you know, a lot of college basketball teams this year is who hits the shot. Like, when you got to have it late, last night it was Moss. Who is it generally for this team when, you know, tournament time comes rolling around or Big 12 tournament time comes around? Because so few offenses look like they're capable of having that player.
No, KU's offense last night, even, again, KU, West Virginia, typically these are how games go. And I think last night, if you're judging KU's offense as a whole just based off of last night, I do think
I've watched them multiple times this year. I've just never come away.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're his elite offense by any means, but last night was exceptionally bad across the board because, in fact, I think Bill Self was a stat that I saw put out there. 55 points is the lowest KU scored under Bill Self, and they scored 59 last night. So, I mean, they almost scored a low under Bill Self, and it's not like he's been there for 3 years, okay? So that says something about the offensive performance, but to me, what I looked at from four Jayhawks played all 20 minutes. In the second half, like they've done that another time earlier on in the season as well. They relied on four guys specifically, and specifically on the defensive end. You mentioned how hard it was for West Virginia down the stretch. The exact number, 19-5, is how Kansas outscored West Virginia over the final nearly 10 minutes. Anyway, 5 points scored by West Virginia in the final 10 minutes of the game. A lot of that's West Virginia, but a huge chunk of that is the defense from Kansas. In fact, Bill Self after the game talked about the second half and the mistakes that they were able to force, and one guy in particular was the key.
I don't know if we really forced mistakes as much as Marcus Garrett forced mistakes. Dana's here. She's a national writer, CJ. Who guards better than him? Anywhere. He guarded 1 through 5 today. You know, he just took guys with the game on the line. He got 3 steals in a row on 3 consecutive possessions, if I'm not mistaken. And he's unbelievable defensively. And I really thought he controlled the game on that end. And then I thought Dot was better the second half. And Dope was a lot better second half. So when your two best players played pretty well, we got a chance. But you know, that didn't happen the first half. But I don't know. We probably just value the ball, and they do a good job of making us play bad, which they do most people. But I think we kind of got a little bit of a rhythm second half.
I think easily the most impressive win of this season. One of them, and Bill Self, I believe earlier in his comments, also said
it kept them
one
alive.
One of the more impressive wins that he's had just in his time. It kept them alive in the game, but that win
Big
keeps
12,
them alive
yeah.
in the Big 12 race. They have a couple gimme, you know, the next two. Oklahoma at home on Saturday, home Iowa State on Monday. Iowa State's not anywhere near the type of team that they have been in the past. And then it's the one that's going to come down to, it appears, and it's Baylor. At Baylor, down in Waco on the 22nd. And by beating West Virginia last night, it continues to make that game right there essentially a chance to decide the Big 12. There's some games after that. I get it. They got to go to Manhattan again. And I know it's Kansas State hasn't been good at all this season, but still, it's a rivalry game. You never know. And then they had Texas Tech remaining. But really, it's that February 22nd game against number one Baylor and the job that Scott Drew has done.
How dare you play Bill Self when a Jim from Huggins existence said, yeah, Self was good. Talking about after the game. I know we don't normally play West Virginia cuts, but come on.
It was good.
Come on, Huggins was great after the game.
I don't know. I mean, you guys are asking me questions that I don't really honestly know the answer to. I'm just trying to BS you so you guys will be happy and write something down and I can leave. I'm in one of those moods. I'm trying to like amuse myself so that I don't get pissed off, you know. Not at you, at the whole situation. I'm really being honest today.
Huggins is great. Huggins is great in postgame. Honestly, like in the years covering Kansas, postgame press, whenever you knew you were getting something from Huggy.
How much better would the Houston Astros press conference have been if that's what Jim Crane said instead? Look, I'm just here. So you just write something down and then stop asking me things and I can just get out of here before I'm pissed. Like, yep, that feels right. That feels right. Huggins is brutally honest a lot of times in those moments. They like ugly games like that, and Kansas still won the game. It is obviously an incredible win for this season for Kansas. It's a really big win. It's important because, yes, it's going to keep them alive for the Big 12. They lose that game. I'm not saying they're not dead because we've seen teams have two-game leads against Kansas in the Big 12 and squander them away, especially knowing that one of those losses could come at your own hands. So all you're asking them to do is lose one more time, but still. Even given that. But then on top of it, you know, I'm watching the game and I have ESPN Plus, so it's fine.
Like, I have the ability.
Yeah, of course. We don't have much of a choice.
Yeah.
But a lot of people still don't. And then I heard Levine yesterday on the drive say that he thought that because less people could watch it on there, that would improve attendance at Allen Fieldhouse. And some of that was coming around the conversation of Carrington pointing out that the tickets were a little bit cheaper and why were they cheaper? And maybe it's just because the product's down or because of the emails we saw sent out right to students about it. And honestly, what I think it is, less people can see your product, less people are interested in seeing your product. I think that people are less likely to go to Allen Fieldhouse if every game is on ESPN Plus. Problem is, there's no answer for it. Because the Big 12 does their independent TV deals, why would more people go if they can't see the product? They're just going to go. They're going to drive out to Lawrence, Kansas, because they can't catch. They're too inconvenienced by ESPN Plus, but they're going to drive to Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah, that sounds like people.
They won't spend $4.99 a month, but they're willing to spend whatever the dollar amount is. I understand.
Let's say it's $40 for a ticket or $30 for a ticket, plus gas, plus parking, plus time.
I get what you're saying. I think I get the point of Sean as well, which was just the thought that, okay, if people can't watch it at home, they're going to need to go see it in person. I understand where both of you are saying.
But why would they inconvenience themselves?
I lean a little bit more with you, but what I would say is, let's not forget when we're talking about ticket prices being down, we're talking about maybe attendance being down and some issues with that. Not only is it a college basketball problem across
That's
the board,
a sports problem.
But it's a Kansas City Chiefs problem. I do think we're just talking about here in the local market. We're talking about Kansas. We're talking about Kansas State. Really talking about Kansas right now because K-State's having a down season basketball-wise for sure. The Chiefs' success, we were just joking about how, thanks, Chiefs. We fast forward to the middle of February. We're in the middle of conference play. Spring training's already here. I do think you can't discount the Chiefs' angle to this, which is that everybody's been so focused in, and rightfully so, on the Chiefs and this unbelievable run to the Super Bowl and Super Bowl championship that I do think that, and if you're talking about just the attendance, the broader issue of attendance, and I know ESPN Plus was an issue last year
of course.
As well, but still, I do think that impacts the entertainment dollar and where are you spending your entertainment dollar? Are you going to invest your time to go see a college basketball game on a weekend, especially right now when people spent probably a fortune throughout this playoff run for the Chiefs, whether it's on merchandise, whether it's on tickets, whether it's on parties, whatever it may be.
No, I understand. Yes, less funds to go around. And Kansas is not the only team susceptible to this. We've talked about the attendance issues across sports. There's more than one place where, you know, this is taking place. But they're not going to drive. They're just going to not see the product. Somebody's not going to be like, God, ESPN Plus, what I got to do? Like, sign up. Log in, stream, but instead what I'm going to do is get dressed, get in the car, drive 45 minutes, park in downtown Lawrence at a meter, walk to the game.
I hope you didn't park on Mass Street.
Wait 2 hours later and then do it. I don't know if there's meters.
You're doing it wrong, Cody. If you're parking on Mass Street and you're trying to walk to the field house from there, that's a
pay
good walk.
$80. Like,
it's 7 degrees outside.
Your entire season of ESPN Plus is going to one game in Lawrence. It's not going to drive more people there. It's driving more people from your product. Baseball has a similar issue right now. And you heard Trevor Bauer had the comments online about it for his, you know, his company Momentum. When he was talking about, he's like, if you don't make things accessible, people tune out. You lose a younger audience. We'll go see it. We'll seek it out. People who've been watching kids their whole life, they'll seek it out. But the people who are like 24 and were going to watch the game if it was on ESPN, but now it's not on ESPN, they're like, well, fine.
It's the
and then they'll be like, who's that guy hitting jumpers in the NCAA tournament? They'll just be like Dayton to them. They won't know. They won't have an investment in the players or the team. And there's nothing to be done. You know, the Big 12 put themselves in this position when they decided to retain the Big 12 the way it was and give independent schools independent TV contracts. So the ESPN Plus deal was the best one available to them at that time. They took money in hand versus long-term sustainability on that, and they can always get out of the ESPN deal plus later.
Well, it's because they don't have a Big 12 network. You have the ACC network. You have SEC network.
No, but that's because of OU network, in Texas.
Yeah, the Big 12, sure. Of course, and that gets into the whole football conference realignment discussion as well. But there's not a Big 12 network. There's this Big 12 Plus, essentially. It's ESPN Plus, but essentially I call it Big 12 Plus because that's really what it is.
Yes.
And I think it's, you know, it's not going away anytime soon. And the future of sports live entertainment, because of the dollar amounts that are available in that and the cost of it as well on TV rights, and like, it's something that people are going to have to adjust to, but it takes time. It's not something. And then when you factor in that, anytime to me, I'm sorry, you got to figure out when there's a number 14 team against a number 3 team in the country, like last night, for that not to be on one of the actual ESPN channels, it's just, I understand the schedule set in advance, but that's just ridiculous. You should not ever have a top 25 matchup in a way where people have to go seek it out for their subscription service or have a streaming platform to be able to access it. Like, not that you got to have another option still at this point. Like, it's easy for you and I maybe to access it. We have people on the text line saying, hey, their grandma's 92 years old and she couldn't watch the game last night. Well, it's not something that's easy for her to access. She doesn't know how to access it.
Yeah, you're going to have to go over there and set stuff up and do all that. And he's like, she lives 80 miles from Lawrence. I'm telling you, it's not going to convenience more. You're just going to lose more fans. That's at the Smitty's Garage Burgers Beer text line 69306. And people are saying, like, you know, part of this is just, like you said, the Chiefs. You know, the second Chiefs stuff comes up, more things detract from your attention and you slowly filter away from other things. But then making it even harder to get is not going to help you. You know where the Chiefs are? Network TV. If you have rabbit ears, you can get that game. Doesn't matter. I mean, you're only getting iced out if you were outside of this market, which is another huge mistake that sports make. Specifically, baseball is really bad about blackout restrictions. You're like, nah, just let them watch the team they want to watch rather than be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't be watching the Royals on this. You're like, what are we talking? What are we doing this for? Don't black me out from watching the team that I want to watch just because another team is threatened by the ability of the fandom, because then you're not going to get either of us. I'm not going to switch fandom just over it.
We're about 15 minutes away from our Chiefs Red half hour. Nothing but Chiefs talk coming your way from 11 to 11:30 here on Cody and Gold. Now, you may not understand, or you may understand ESPN Plus and everything like that. Something I do not understand. Our guy Bink told us that Kramer, who is producing for us today, has some, I don't even understand the concept of this, some simulated football league that he's in. Did you understand what he was talking about yesterday? Now, you have a chance to defend yourself here a little bit. It sounded like you're just, truly, you're just watching computers play.
First, I'll give you, it sounds better than Brad Boyk's Fantasy League, because whatever that is, and Ryan will attest, just sounds terrible.
I mean, it's simulated football, so you're pretty much, you have a player, and you get to watch that player play, and it's...
So you watch the whole game?
You watch the whole game.
But you're a kicker.
Yeah.
How much does your guy kick?
What are you waiting around for them to for it to well, be I do, your
I chance? I do more than just be the kicker for this team. I'm the general manager for it. So it's like, no, there's literally like close to almost 1,000 people in this league. So I'm not the only one being that guy. But yeah, no, I mean, I've hit game winners or whatnot. So I mean, there's at least something that I can do to enjoy it.
Okay, so but how did you... Did you start this league?
No, I didn't start this league. This has been going on since 2013, and they finally have a TV deal.
A TV deal?
Yes.
With who?
11 Sports Network.
So someone is going to broadcast a simulated football game from a game that is not, it's not even like the current Madden, right?
No, it's All-Pro Football 2K8. And no, it looks great.
The graphics are crappy.
No, they're actually above 1080p. So they're actually
okay.
I'm just confused about how you even got involved in this.
I was just searching on Twitter once, and then boom, I found it. Boom, this is where I'm at now.
Is there money involved? You know, I have to have money involved for a
lot. They're actually starting to incorporate a betting system.
Now you have my attention.
But it's simulated. How are you going to decide which way to bet?
People bet on esports.
Yeah, exactly, all the time.
I guess it is similar.
Yeah, but esports
that is
a competitive
play.
Like people are actually playing.
That's
like this is simulated, right? You're not actually kicking for somebody.
Well, no, there's a progression system to where like you have to like add stats and whatnot week in, week out. So you're at least you can like say for a kicker wise, I can do power or accuracy.
So what happens when your guy retires? Are you just out of the league? Literally out of the league?
Does he lose things over years? Lose skill?
There's a regression system going to be put in place since there's so many people joining right now. It's crazy to think about.
How much time do you spend on this?
Whenever the games are on. It's like about an hour and 30-minute game.
Man, I can't. Is anyone else do this? 69306, Minnie's Garage. Never heard of it.
I'll explain more off air and show you the guy's website.
Bink showed us the website a little bit.
Yeah, Bink's invested. I mean, they had a draft special on TV. This was on TV.
Well, yeah.
It's crazy.
On actual television?
On actual television. You can get it on cable right now.
So it was easier to watch your simulated league draft than it was to watch KUS Virginia last night.
Exactly.
Is what you're telling me. Wow.
I still don't know why you chose kicker. Like, of all the sports in the world that you could live, you could be like anything.
Never played football. Played football in my life, and I didn't want it to, like, replace somebody that's actually playing. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I have an investment towards a spot. I'm just going to be a kicker because why not? Plus, I played soccer, so that's the only reason why.
Are you good? Are you a good kicker?
It took me 3 seasons to miss a field goal.
Okay, so I guess you're solid.
And that was in the postseason.
That's a bad time to be missing them,
but
though.
We won the championship that year, so that's okay.
You got a ring.
20 teams in the league.
Congrats, buddy.
They're actually, it's a funny thing you say that, there's a company that actually makes rings for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Jostens will take anybody's money.
No, it's crazy.
They were just waiting
simulation
for someone.
Football is
they
crazy.
They will take anyone's money. They were just waiting in the wings for the Simulation Football League to produce some championship rings for them.
Last minute.
Okay, so recently, well, as of recently, it was yesterday, Jameis Winston had LASIK surgery. Is this going to improve anything, or is he still going to have 30 interceptions coming in for next season for any team he plays for?
No, it's not going to improve anything.
2020 to improve 30-30,
that's
huh?
exactly right. There was some low-hanging fruit on those jokes yesterday. I enjoyed that. No, it's not going to change anything. The issue, I don't believe, was, he couldn't see the defender. No, it's just he made poor decisions when he was throwing the football. So, no, nothing's going to change by this. I mean, do as much possible to make... I mean, how was this not done years ago for him? That's a mistake. But, no, he's not going to all of a sudden be this amazing quarterback this whole time because he couldn't see the defender. He has poor decision-making. That's what causes most of these interceptions. When guys are throwing picks, it's not so much they didn't see the defender. They're seeing, they're seeing ghosts. Like, Sam Darnold's seeing ghosts out there. Most of the time, though, it's... decision making.
That might help. I don't know. I mean, I've never had LASIK surgery. I know that I had like vision issues as a child and didn't have contacts and couldn't always wear my glasses when I played.
How many picks did you throw?
I wasn't a quarterback. Let's face that.
Were you a kicker as well?
Yeah, were you a kicker?
Baseball was my. No. No. If you've seen our video of the combine,
I saw
effort,
that was great.
Then you'll know.
Apparently,
I was
got another
not
combine coming. We got an email about that in a few weeks. Yeah, the combine. I'm a little nervous.
Let's see if I'm like healed up from the last combine we did before.
Bursitis of the elbow.
It's still not 100%. It's
how?
Not like I don't know. It's just not 100%.
So that's where you hurt your elbow at.
No. It was hurt before that, but that's why we didn't do a throwing portion of the combine there. So I'm still trying.
I'm disappointed
worried about
this
bench press and elbow issues. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm 1,000% before the combine comes around.
The bench press, I'm not joking. I don't know if I can do more than one. If I can do one.
Well, I think Carrington did like one last
Carrington
year. So if you can get to
gonna,
two, you're in good shape.
Carrington and I are going to be on the same level when it comes to this combine, I feel like.
For
especially
that part,
with the bench press.
But you're easily the thinnest person. Shouldn't that put you in some category?
For what? What does that get me?
I don't know. Like you should be able to run faster. Let's wait to move around.
Not necessarily. The bench press, I'm going to get smoked. I haven't done a bench press I haven't been to a gym in 2.5 years, so it's been...
When was the last time you benched something? Yeah, it's been a while, I'm sure.
4 or 5 years, at least. When's the last time you?
I don't know, probably that long, if not longer. A while. I don't hit the bench.
Now, the text line says, if you don't understand and think that eyesight is going to help Jameis Winston, you guys don't understand good eyesight.
I think it could help.
The 30 interceptions were not because he couldn't see the defender. If so, then what a mistake. He's waited this whole entire time to get LASIK. I'm just not convinced that all of a sudden he's like, you know what? That's been, you know, I didn't realize that I could be seeing way better than I do right now. That's why I threw 30 interceptions last year. Not because I had terrible decision-making. I know there's baseball players. Bubba Starling, early on in his career in the minors, he got LASIK. That's different. That's seeing a base. That's trying to see a baseball coming your way. Not deciding if there's a defender.
Football
and I
moves fast, man. Yeah.
So that's why I have glasses. Because baseball, I couldn't see the seam, like the seam spin. And I was like, okay, I need to get contacts.
Thank you.
It worked out that way.
Someone on the text line says, yeah, unless there's LASIK on his brain, it doesn't matter. Exactly.
Either way, I enjoy watching Jameis Winston play. Whether I should or not, I do.
Coming up next on Cody and Gold, it's a Chiefs Red half hour. How should the Chiefs approach the draft? Cody has one thought on that.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.